Welcome to the I Talk, You Talk, We Talk Sports Podcast. We got the whole team with it today. We got Andy, Drew, Kai, Jeff. What's popping here, fellas?
Nice.
Super Bowl.
What up?
What? No.
Now, I guess I should say, because I know that you already heard Super Bowl Sunday, so we are doing a pre-post Super Bowl show. We're currently recording in the future for the past. So just to go ahead and start things off here, Dogecoin, I'm just going to throw out there, Dogecoin, if you don't have any, to the moon, go get you some. When Bitcoin was a joke in 2010 and I didn't get any, it was all messed up. Now I'm over here recording podcasts in the extension of my mom's basement. So go get you some, to the moon. Anyway, to jump back into the sports world a little bit here, the NBA decided to have a all-star game, you know, and this was initially put off until next year. I believe in the initial negotiations, they were just going to not play at all. They didn't know what the health risks were. You know, obviously things have kind of loosened up a little bit, which is probably a little bit more of the reason why they're deciding to go with it now, but just kind of just threw it at them. So I can't remember the date. I do know it's in March, and I do know that they're planning on having it in Atlanta, who has very, very loose guidelines as far as COVID is concerned. And I want to say they're one of the only teams that are actually allowing like fans in a large capacity. A couple players have already come out and voiced their, you know, concern with it, or flat out just how they don't like it, like LeBron James. What do you got? What do you guys think? Let's. I'm going to try the Drew method here and start from the person directly to my right. So, Andy, what do you think about this All-Star game? You think they should be playing it, not playing it?
Oh, I don't think they should play it. I think that going into this season, obviously, all the dates were pushed back, right? You know, they just – it seems like they just finished a season. I know it was only a couple months ago, but it seems like even closer than that. And all of a sudden, they're playing again. And I know going into the season, they all thought that they weren't going to be playing these games. They were going to get to go home. They were going to get the, you know, a week off, much needed rest for some of these teams, especially like the teams that were, you know, in a playoff run towards the end there. So I think they're rightfully so not happy about this, but it seems to me like a giant money grab by the NBA. And then you got guys like you said, Joe, LeBron James comes out and voices his displeasure against it. And you know that the NBA is taking notice of that. And then you've got guys that are more willing to say something after he's said something, like Giannis. When you got to your two biggest stars, really probably in the league, saying they don't want to play, I just don't know how you play this game. Just to have, and they're going to try to do everything all in one day. It just seems very rushed. It doesn't seem right to me. They should maybe pick an all-star team, but just as like a consolation prize, like there's no point to play this game, you know? I just don't agree. I don't think they should play it.
You know how like you'll be talking to a salesman outside your door or something, and they're trying to sell you like a vacuum cleaner or like some meats in a box or something. And sometimes the product is actually really, really good. It's really good product, but it comes down to that salesman's pitch, man. Do they seem desperate? Are they thirsty? Can you tell that they really are just so anxious to get this off of their hands? That's what the NBA is doing right now. The move seems thirsty, anxious, rushed, and unprepared for. There's a whole bunch of stars saying that they don't want to play. Don't play this damn game. It is not necessary. I'm not going to watch. I don't know many people that do put like a lot of emphasis on watching All-Star games or Pro Bowls or whatever, and baseball even got desperate and tried to put the World Series home field advantage. World Series home field advantage on the line for the winner for the All-Star game and stuff like that. I don't know, man. It's desperate. You're reaching. Stop it. Stop putting emphasis on these games because we don't care. You know, if you're passionate about your team, you want ships. You want to win games. Like, don't put anybody else at risk and health on the line for a damn All-Star game. No, don't play that shit, man. Get it out of here. Done with it.
Agreed. That was I like the I like the example how it all started out here. Kai, what do you have for us here? What do you think they should be playing this game? Well, we know there's probably not going to be any many Knicks in there, but, you know, give us your best opinion.
The over-under on Knicks is 0.5 being an all-star. Taking the over just because I'm a Knicks fan. If it was up to me, we'd stop the season right now so the Knicks would be in the playoffs. I'm talking about first time in a dozen years maybe. No, I think they should play, man. They're playing games regularly against each other. It's not like they play defense, so they're not going to be close to each other at all. Play the game. Who cares?
Now, you mentioned that. I want to throw this out there because you weren't on the show last week. You do know how the playoffs are being played this year, right?
All I know is the Knicks are in right now.
I don't think you know. All right, so I'm just going to run through it really, really quick here. Mm-hmm. So the top six teams are actually in. 7 through 10 are in a play-in game. 7 and 8 play each other. The winner of that game gets the 7th spot. And then 9 and 10 play each other. The winner of that game plays the loser of the 7 and 8 team. And then the winner of that game gets the 8th spot. So last week what I predicted was that the Cavs and the Knicks would play each other in a one-game play-in, and the Cavs would beat their ass and get that last spot. But I will give you some good news because I just got an update here from the Athletic just now. This is breaking. Pistons and Knicks are nearing that Derrick Rose trade. So you guys might get you some D-Rose here by the end of the day.
Can't wait for that guy to come back.
D-Rose, nice, man. He's turned it around. He's figured out a new –
Yeah, he can still hoop, man.
He can hoop, definitely. It's just at a different capacity, and he's using different methods to succeed on the court, man. I love seeing – the transformation of players when they don't have it physically anymore, the other things that they do start to use, the anticipation, experience,
like,
you know,
pitchers when they get
old. Like, exactly, just like pitchers. It's beautiful. I love it.
Jeff, what do you think about the NBA All-Star weekend festivities?
Well, a couple things. I think that, I mean, if you're going to have a problem with the All-Star game, why don't you have a problem with traveling city to city and staying in hotels and doing all the stuff that they're doing anyway? I really don't think – I get that each team is kind of in their own bubble, but they have to go to other places and do things already. And if you're willing to play and do all the things that you're going to do, then I think that you go ahead with the All-Star game. I might agree with eliminating some of the things they do for All-Star weekend, but the All-Star game itself, to me, doesn't seem like any different than a regular basketball game as far as safety concerns go. So if you feel okay with playing regular games, I think you shouldn't have a big beef about an All-Star game. Now, the whole festivities and how they do it and all those things, then yeah, they're going to have to adjust some of that. But as far as the game itself, I think that you play. I mean, you've been playing, and that's what you do, and that's what they've been doing. And no one seems to have a big beef about playing the regular season game. So I don't honestly understand what the big problem is with the All-Star game. Now, as far as what was said earlier, All-Star weekend over the past few years has been like the only weekend that I really tune in and watch like NBA things. And I like the 3-point contest, and the dunk contest got watered down, but it's still fun to watch. And as far as All-Star weekend goes,
Blake Griffin ruined it.
Well, Blake, I was just going to bring that up because that's actually when I met you, when I very first met you, and me and Kai were living together. And I talked about this last night with Shonda. She doesn't even like basketball, but All-Star Weekend has a place in my life forever because All-Star Weekend, that was the night of the dunk contest, was our very first date. And unwittingly, she did come. We went to the bar, went to Johnny J's down in the valley and watched it live. We watched the whole dunk contest and we did all that. And she's not a sports fan. And then you and Kai came home from the bar hammered. And it was on DVR. So we actually watched it all twice. We watched the dunk contest twice. And I believe the quote that sticks in Shonda's head about you, Joe, is after that dunk happened over the Kia, you said, oh, I think I might pee myself. So that's like the greatest quote that Shonda has of you. But you know what? All-Star Weekend is important for the NBA. And I don't like that it's all about money. But I feel like right now, if you're willing to travel and play right now for the regular season, then maybe it shouldn't be as big of an issue. And I hope that some of these players aren't just using it as a platform to get their thoughts out. Because if you really have a problem playing the All-Star game, then you might have a problem somewhere inside about even playing these regular season games. I think they should play.
Carl Anthony Towns has lost 6 family members to COVID. I think in an ode to him alone, they should just not do it. Like, 6 family members.
Cancel the season.
Yeah, that too. Why not? I mean, it's – come on,
one,
you know?
One thing I will say about that, though, you know, and obviously it's clearly a serious matter, but if we look at the NFL, I mean, players had the choice, and they did. They opted out. So, I mean – you should, well, if you're an All-Star, you should be able to opt out. I mean, what if LeBron James opts out of the All-Star game? You know,
let me interject on that real quick, because some of the research I was doing shows De'Aaron Fox is the guy that I was reading, and his quotes were right on the money. The NBA has a clause where if you are picked for the All-Star game and you're not hurt or some other reason and you don't play, you get a big effing fine. So if you're picked to play in the NBA All-Star game and you don't play for reasons other than health, you get a huge fine. And De'Aaron Fox came out and said, yeah, De'Aaron Fox even said, he said, I don't really want to do it, but I would rather play and not take the huge fine.
Yeah. And I think that should be adjusted. I think that clause is probably for previous years, but I think for this year it should be adjusted, really. These guys Absolutely. Should have a choice. And to tell you the truth, it's not even just a COVID matter. Actually, when I read, you know, LeBron's statements about it, actually his was more so, you know, they didn't have a, you know, they didn't really have like a preseason or training camp the way they were supposed to. Rather, they were planning on having these 5 days in between where they could, you know, rest up and get ready for the second half of the season. Yep. And then out of the blue, you know, they announced this and they're like, hey, next month you guys are playing this All-Star game. Say goodbye to your little break.
Yeah, I don't think it's so much COVID related, to be honest. I mean, they've all accepted the consequences of what playing could mean for them. I just truthfully think it's a timing thing. Like they all thought that they were getting like a nice week-long break. And then the NBA is just throwing together this All-Star team. And yeah, like you said, then to find these players for not playing would be kind of silly. So just play with a bunch of guys that do want to go play. I mean, you could have the G League All-Star game for all I care. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Why not? It'll get just as much of attention.
No.
Look, and I get that point.
It'll get just as much as attention from me, which is zero.
And I get that point. Look, it was already in their heads, like you guys have said, that this was going to be, okay, this is what I'm going to do this week because we're not having it. And I know that me personally, I'm that way at work. I deliver boxes and sometimes people need help. And I would rather know that I'm given help before it starts than just be tossed in and like, oh, I need somebody to go help. You know what I mean? Because I'm the same way. You plan it out, you get your thought in your head, and this is what you've already planned, and now it changed. So I do understand that part.
It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. We'll kind of follow that as it goes. You know, I think that we all have been hearing a lot of the news lately with some of the quarterback changes and some of the potential ones that are going on. You know, I'm going to start with the most obvious one that has actually already happened, and a little bit surprising to me because, I mean, if anyone knows why and how this happened, then let me know. I just didn't know that you were able to make trades during this point in time of the season. But Matthew Stafford, now I know there are picks involved, but, you know, Matthew Stafford was essentially traded to the Rams for Jared Goff and some picks. So I'm going to let you guys kind of go on with this a little bit, but I just don't think the trade was really worth it for the Rams. But I mean, someone tell me, who do you think won this trade? What do you think about it? Let's start off to the right again. So Andy.
Yeah, I don't think anybody won or lost his trade, but I do know why it happened. And that's the text chain that got released about Jared Goff saying that he would get familiar with Sean McVay's girlfriend.
Familiar.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, we got to be politically correct now. It's 2021. But he would like to get familiar with his girlfriend. And, well, fiance. So I think that right there is like, well, he's got to go. You know, Matt Stafford, I think, man, he's put up some gaudy numbers in a terrible, terrible system. He's got a chance now that clearly they're a playoff team, or at least playoff, you know, contender. He's got a chance to go there and show that he actually is a good quarterback and not just, you know, a bunch of empty numbers. But if I'm Jared Goff, this makes me hungry. You know, I've been to a Super Bowl already. You guys paid me a bunch of money. I'm going to go to a team that, like he said, actually wants me. Clearly they want him. They, you know, obviously they got a lot of picks too, like you said, Joe, but he's got a ton to prove, man. You know, possibly he takes this in stride and does well for the Detroit Lions. But I don't think there's like a clear winner or loser in the trade. Probably if you had a gun to my head, I'd say the Lions because of all the picks that they got. But yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the deal.
I think the Rams totally sold out to win now. And I think it'll be effective for them. I think we'll probably see them in the Super Bowl next year. Matt Stafford, skill-wise, is ahead of Goff. Goff's a little more mobile, but I mean – Stafford can make every throw all the time and consistently. And, you know, Stafford is ahead of Goff skill wise. That is not questionable. But two first round picks and a third over the next 2 years. Whew, that's a lot. That's a lot to give up, man. I'm not familiar with the inner workings of the Rams and what they've been building up for the past couple years, but I know it's not like how the Browns have been building, and it's not like how, I know I'm going out of the sport, but how the Indians have, you know, been building over the last couple of years in preparation for Lindor to leave. So in preparation for them to lose so much in the draft, so much draft stock, you know, they have to have some knowledge, because if this Stafford thing doesn't work out, they're screwed. McVay is gone. For sure, all that genius talk is out of the window. He's back to being a coordinator. I mean, somebody will give him a shot for sure, but this type of thing has to work. They've put themselves in a position where it has to work, period. So, I mean, that's what I think about it. If they want to gamble, if they want to roll the dice, go ahead and let them, you know, but they're not doing it how I think they should have gone about it.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to say is Sean McVay actually noted that the one thing that he wanted to do with the offense is make more explosive plays downfield. I mean, I did look up some of their stats, and it looks like 15 yards plus downfield. Stafford is drastically better, 17 touchdowns, 5 interceptions last year. And then that was ranked 6, I'm sorry. And then Goff was only 7 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, which was ranked 30th. But to me, I think a lot of that might have to do with some of the receivers that Stafford might have. And it's nothing against Robert Woods or Cooper Kupp, but I think that there's a drastic difference between Kenny Galladay and even Marvin Jones and the routes that they run and how well they get downfield and make plays that might have a little bit more to do with that number. So unless the Lions are planning on getting some extra offensive weapons, then I don't necessarily see how anything's going to be different by bringing Stafford in. Kai, what do you think about the trade?
I think Stafford won that trade. If you're asking who won it, he's
good point.
He's going to LA. He's going to be hanging out with his best friend since they were kids, Clayton Kershaw. I mean, they're homeboys from way back. So I think, you know, for a transition, it's not going to be too hard for him. He's a veteran quarterback. I wouldn't say he's on his last leg, but he might be in the game for another 4 or 5 years, I would imagine. But he's going to a better team. Detroit is probably the worst football franchise in the NFL. You know, now that the Browns are doing pretty good. But Yeah, dude, Stafford definitely won this trade. I think they go to the playoffs again next year, and I think they fare even better. I mean, they beat the Seahawks in the first round. I think with him slinging the ball around, he's got the weapons. Stafford won the trade.
Stafford never did anything in the years where even Rodgers wasn't in the playoffs, though, in NFC North, and now he's going to a division that's probably arguably top two, just because I have to give credit to the AFC North. But I mean, those are the two toughest divisions in football. So yeah. I mean, I don't know how much it's going to help him when he has to play against San Francisco and Seattle and Arizona.
They have a winning mentality, which Detroit hasn't had. You tell me, Barry Sanders years maybe.
Yeah, when they unleashed DeAndre Swift, though, because Matt Patricia's not there trying to make them run the team like Bill Belichick would. When they unleash him, man, and they get a run game, Goff has a couple of receivers that, you know, are pretty damn good. They need to improve that offensive line. Detroit could be all right. They could be okay. But like you said, Kai, Matt Stafford won this trade. He actually got spotted in Cabo with Sean McVay before the trade went down. Oh, what happened really? In Cabo? What happens in Cabo stays in Cabo.
Tampering. That'll be investigated here soon. Jeff, what do you think about the trade?
Look, Ed, off the top, I was thinking that Stafford and the Rams won out. And the main reason is because the Rams already have a really good defense. They have a championship caliber defense. They have decent receivers. And Matt Stafford is a longtime successful quarterback in the NFL. Not in the postseason, but that's beside the point. But I did some research, and these guys are not dissimilar. And I know that Goff's only played 4 years and Stafford's been in a lot, but 91 is Goff's career QBR. 89.2 is Stafford's career QBR. 64% passing completion percentage for Goff, 63.4 for Stafford. And then yards per game, Stafford's like 273 and Goff's like 264. So honestly, when you look at this, it's almost like as far as production goes, an even trade. I think Stafford's a little bit more – I think he'll be a little bit more respected or like looked up to, I guess, for lack of a better term, in L.A. And I think he's going to bring a presence. He's a good guy. He's a good teammate. He does all those things. But you look over his really long career, he's only had two seasons with more than 30 touchdowns. And Goff's already had one. I mean, Stafford blew up that 1 year when he had Megatron, and he threw for 5,000 yards and 41 touchdowns. But outside of all that, he's only had one season with more than 30 touchdowns. So, I mean, he's not this guy that's going to put up – like I said, I don't think the numbers are going to go up. I just think that the fit is better. And I think that the Rams – are already a little bit established. So Stafford's going to bring something to this trade and to the team. And I think that they'll be better. As far as Detroit goes, you're getting Goff, which is basically a Stafford stat-wise. And so I don't know if that's what you build around. They have to do some, they have to use those picks or whatever it is and make these moves that are going to have to do that. And as far as the Rams go, if they could get in one decent free agent wide receiver, I really believe that that puts them in the mix for a Super Bowl run. So, I mean, I get why they did it. I don't think that it's big win this way, that way, but I do think that the Rams are in a better position to do better with this trade.
Right. Yeah. And I'm glad you brought up all those numbers, because I actually even they were. So then I started looking at it and saying, like, yeah, exactly what do you get by getting a guy who's been in the league 8 years longer you know, it kind of threw me off a little bit. And Jared Goff has actually made two Pro Bowls. Stafford's has actually only been in one. So, a little bit of that plays in. I do believe it all comes down to the receivers that Stafford has had. You know, those downfield plays that McVay actually really put a focus on, he needs those receivers. Now, I was looking at who he could potentially get. So I do have a list of the top free agent wide receivers right here. I'm going to name the first three, but then I'm going to highlight two others. First three are Allen Robinson, Chris Godwin, and Juju Smith. Actually fit this bowl here, maybe might be affordable. Kenny Galladay and Marvin Jones Jr. So you go bring in some guys he's familiar with, throw them in there with Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, and then maybe that actually is the extra receiver they need, and they go ahead and lean on that defense the way that they've been doing. And if that happens, then maybe the trade works out for them. Other than that, I think Drew pointed to it. I mean, you're Super Bowl or bust at this point. You traded away some picks. You did this. You got older at the position. McVay is taking a huge gamble with this. The only way that it will make sense is if he wins, and then the only reason I can even justify doing it in general, because it seems like it really happened quick, because I don't remember hearing them as one of the teams he was going to potentially go to. I didn't even know that they were thinking about making a move, would be if that story is in fact true. As soon as McVay,
you don't mess with someone's woman,
text
man.
Message, he was like, we got to get him out of here now. Google it. Well, that, you know, that takes us into, you know, some other quarterback moves, because I think we've been hearing a lot of the buzz lately. I'm just going to go ahead and start with the major one. I think everyone is wondering what's going to happen with Dak Prescott. You know, he's going to be a free agent this year. Dallas, I imagine if they wanted to keep him, wouldn't they have already gotten a long-term deal done? You know, so maybe they fight for it now. Maybe they don't. He's going to probably command somewhere around Patrick Mahomes. So probably not 40, let's say like 37, 38, somewhere around there. Where do you guys see him landing? Let's go with the, looks like the order switched somehow. So Drew.
Yo, there's so many different scenarios that could play itself out over the next couple of months. And it's going to be so exciting. Dallas would be crazy to not bring Prescott back, but just for a second, imagine Dak Prescott in an Atlanta Falcons uniform. Oh boy, that would be exciting. Oh man, I would be all for that. I think Prescott's gonna excel wherever he goes, to be honest. I was really big on Prescott last year. In my podcast Champion Talk, I talked about him, I think, in every single episode that there was. And it's not going to change. I think he's going to come off the injury and be fine. You know, he's proved time and time again that he can make those throws that he was struggling to make, back shoulder towards the sideline, you know, throwing on the run, all of the, throwing deep balls. All of the things that everybody kept saying that he couldn't do, he went out and started doing it consistently. Dak Prescott is the guy. And another situation that I would love to see Dak in possibly is Carolina. Oh man. If Deshaun Watson or Dak Prescott end up in Carolina, the Panthers are a problem. They are a problem. All right. So I'm really looking to see where those two guys end up. And specifically who the Carolina Panthers and the Falcons end up with that quarterback, because I think they're both really looking to make a change.
Kai, we know you want to get them out of the NFC least, which yes. Before I go on with that, I will tell you really quick that they didn't finish as the worst division ever. The 2008 NFC West was 10-30. NFC least this year, 11-28-1. You guys just barely hit the cut. So. Second worst version of NFL history.
Those ties matter sometimes, I guess. He got super hurt. I as far as being a football fan, I hope he comes back and does well, no matter where he goes. Unless he stays with the Cowboys, then I hope he sucks. But I would say he'll probably stay. If not, I don't know what they're doing in Dallas anymore. But good for them if they you know, decide to not keep him. Unless they got some crazy trick up their sleeve. I don't know. I would say maybe he goes to the Jets, man, because the Jets somehow lost the first round pick. If you will, they won too much. So now Jacksonville's got that first pick, right?
Yeah. When they beat the Browns, put them in the.
I don't know. The Jets are a mess as well, so I don't know. But I would see the Jets maybe building around a guy like that, you know?
Dude, if the Jets get a competent quarterback, they're going to be so nasty. They're going to be so good. I love their receivers. I do. Like, if you look at how many teams are starting backup QBs, there's like six. There's six backup quarterbacks that have starting jobs. And Sam Darnold and the Jets are one of them. And, dude, if they upgrade, oh, man, they're going to be so good.
I don't know about so good.
But I'll look, call you know it what? Now.
Yep. Look, I personally believe that Dallas is going to keep Dak. And if not, I just can't see Jerry Jones banking on Andy Dalton, even though Andy Dalton is a pro quarterback. I think at this point in his career, he's better off as a backup, and he did them fine as their backup this year, and he did get better with a little bit more consistency with his receivers, a little bit more consistency with the offense as he played more and did all that. I don't know if you can bank on him as your starting quarterback and be a contender. Dak automatically keeps Dallas as a contender, I think, especially in the least, like you said, Joe, in the NFC least, you're kind of always a contender. So, I mean, if you think about that, maybe that's even something in the back of their mind. Because if they could get some crazy return for Dak Prescott and upgrade other places on that team that they need, Andy Dalton might be good enough. If he can go out there and throw 25 touchdowns and 10 picks, and then Ezekiel's back on his game and he does what he does, then that makes them pretty good. I think he stays in Dallas. And if he doesn't stay in Dallas, where would he fit? Which teams have great receivers that just need someone to get the ball to? Yeah, I agree with Drew. The Jets do have good receivers, and that might be a good fit. But I don't know if Dak wants to leave, and I don't know if Jerry Jones wants to send him off just yet. It is a concern, as Kai said. That's a pretty major injury that he suffered. And there's no guarantee he's going to come back all the way. But in these days and times, in the medicine and the way that we do things, these injuries that used to end careers don't end careers anymore. So I also agree that I hope he comes back and he's fine. And I see him in Dallas. I see him staying in Dallas.
Yeah, I think that would probably be the best bet for him, to be honest with you. I did want to throw in there really quick. Andy Dalton is actually also a free agent. He's yep. He's fourth on this list of the top. We have the top eight free agents. But yeah, I mean, that offense is good enough. I have a little bit of a crazy scenario that I'll probably mention later that I think could potentially happen with that I like. But for now, let's go over to Andy. What do you think about Dak Prescott and his potential landing grounds here?
Well, I think that the Cowboys will be stupid to let him go, because essentially you're saying that we're going to restart. Like, who else are the – I don't know. Who are you going to replace Dak Prescott with at the Cowboys? But I got two places that I would like to see him go, and the number one being the Saints. I would love to see this dude play for the Saints. I think Drew Brees is done. It would be fun to see Dak Prescott in a Saints jersey. Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, it would just be a fun offense to see him in. The other one that I think is like a sneaky spot he could land, and I know this, you might not like this one, Joe, because you got your eyes set on somebody else, but I think that Dak Prescott could be a Patriot at the end of the day. Yeah, and you pair him up with Josh McDaniels, who's got a proven track record. I think that they would have to get another receiver, but I think that's instant success. They're already going to get a number of guys back, hopefully next year with everything cleared, that opted out this year, especially on the defensive side of the ball. They're going to be a lot better just off the rip. You put Dak Prescott into that offense, and I think you got a probably a playoff team.
Hey, I wouldn't be mad at that in the least. It would be the it would be the backup to Mr. Watson if we can't pull that one off. So, I definitely would not have a problem with that. As far as the Saints, I think that that would be a really, really great fit to see him there. Now, I don't think that any of, at least none of my responses have anything to do with Cap, because I don't claim to know enough about any of them. But I will that the Saints are stupid over Cap right now. I think they are projected to be like $100 million over. Yeah. But this kind of leads to the Drew Brees thing a little bit, which made me think about it. He is all but retired. He did do a restructure that drastically lowered his salary, which is going to save the Saints a lot of money. And essentially the reasoning behind it from all the reports from Schefter and everything was, you know, the only reason he would do this is if he were going to retire. So it's almost, it's not if, it's when are we going to hear it?
Yeah.
So I'm just going to go over the second free agent before I jump to like the trade targets really quick, so we can kind of get through this. Cause and the only reason I'm going to do is cause it's a very interesting name at number two. One of us is going to be a little bit discouraged a little bit about this, but Mitchell Trubisky, old Mitch, top 10 quarterback. You know, I got to start with you, Jeff, man. You guys ain't going to keep your boy.
You know what? This kind of fits into one of the names that you brought up already. And look, the Bears have traditionally not had outstanding quarterbacks, and Mitch fits right in there with it.
Jay Cutler. He was on,
yeah. Well, and like I said, not outstanding. He was okay, but Jay Cutler didn't care to play football. Anyway, Mitch, I think, and it's the second team that I think that D-Watt would be a good fit with, but I would rather have D-Watt in a Bears uniform. And in order for that to happen, I think they would have to keep Allen Robinson, because he's a stud, and they have some young receivers, and I think that they could boom. And D-Watt would go to the Bears and set every single quarterback record there was, I guarantee it. But I think that the little bit that Mitch did last year before he got hurt, and in the little bit that he played down the stretch this year, I think that the Bears should keep Mitch. And it'll hurt if they get rid of Robinson. And I don't know, like, the relationships these players have with each other. But if Mitch doesn't stay in Chicago, he's probably going to be signed as a true fire backup. You know what I mean? There's a handful of these guys this year on the list, Brissett, Taylor, Mitch, that I think should be looking for really good backup gigs rather than trying to get a starting gig. But I really do see Chicago keeping Mitch, is how I feel. And I think that they felt he played enough and he knows the system. So I think Mitch might stay in Chicago. Can't say that it's my favorite move, but I see them sticking with him and giving him another shot.
I think it would probably be best for them, unless they can will off a deal somewhere else. I heard a couple rumors of maybe trying to bring in Carson Wentz or something like that. The Deshaun Watson thing, I'm kind of skeptical on whether or not he would waive his no trade clause on, because he has made it felt in the past that he was not necessarily happy with the fact that they passed him up on draft day. So just don't know if that would happen.
Right.
But who knows? I'm going to go ahead and jump. You know, I'll just keep the line a little bit here. Drew, Mitchell Trubisky.
I think the Bears would be more interested in keeping Allen Robinson than Mitchell Trubisky. And I think in keeping Allen Robinson, they're going to have to solidify that quarterback spot, and it's not going to be with Mitch or Foles. They have to make a move. I think Charlie Nagy. I think Matt Nagy is interested in keeping his job. He needs to keep things interesting in Chicago, because right now they've just been showing everybody the same reel over and over and over again. And now Allen Robinson's contract is up. he needs to be re-signed or dealt with or whatever. And the best way to do that is to bring in a quarterback and say, hey, before you go, you know, leaving us, we have Dak Prescott or something or whatever it may be. But James it Winston? Can't Jameis
Winston. You think he stays for Winston?
No, I don't think so. Winston will find himself somewhere probably starting next year. Maybe like Miami or something random. Like if they really feel like Tua's not their guy, which I don't think they do. But Chicago has to come with something different, man. Their fans, they're tired of seeing the same thing every year, man. You've been showing the same thing. I know, Jeff. I know. You ready for something else to happen. You know, you get to the playoffs because the defense is – like great, it's a great defense that they can win ball games, but the offense has to be able to keep the D off the field and score some damn points.
You and they did at the end of the year when they started feeding Montgomery, and that's a big deal going into next year too.
Attribute that to the schedule, the run D of the teams down the stairs. I mean, we'll see, man. I think the Bears have a lot of questions to answer. And they need to get answered quickly. And they need to start with persuading Allen Robinson to stay.
All right. So from one mediocre quarterback to another. Kai, where do you think Trubisky is going?
We talking about Mitchell? Who cares, man? The Bears quarterbacks have never been good. Their best quarterback in the history of the franchise is McMahon. Jim McMahon, was that his name?
Jimmy!
Yeah, and he had one of the best running backs behind him ever. So you can, you know, blame Walter Payton for his greatness. Who cares?
And their defense.
It doesn't matter. Absolutely, their defense too. It doesn't matter. Mitch Trubisky can be there or not. Whoever plays there is not going to be a great quarterback because there never will be a great quarterback to come out of Chicago. The end. Don't care.
So you think if Watson or Dak ended up there, they wouldn't play well just because they're in Chicago? They just
absolutely. It's too windy.
Deep dive.
Too windy. Wow.
Too windy.
That's a hot take. Andy, Mitchell Trubisky, you care?
We talk about Mitchell. Truthfully, I don't. No, he's got Cleveland ties too, but he's just not very good. I mean, he seems like a very nice young man. But you know it just doesn't seem like that great of a quarterback. So look, I wish you all the best, Mitch. I don't think anybody knows here where the hell you're going to end up. I just hope that there's many people that have made great careers out of holding clipboards, and I think that's in his future.
All right. So
ditto.
All right, so we'll go ahead and jump into like the trade targets really quick. So the trade quarterbacks, I did randomly bring up Carson Wentz already. He's one of them. Deshaun Watson is obviously the big one. He's been brought up here a couple times. Everyone has already heard my theory on it, what I want to see happen, him in New England. Right now, I mean, he's planning on sitting. He's talking about how he's going to pull a Le'Veon Bell because the Texans are almost refusing to trade him right now. If he does get moved, which because of that seems more like a long shot right now, what are some good landing spots that you guys could see for him? Drew.
You know, I'm unmuted. You know, here's an unpopular take for Cleveland fans. I've been fighting with him for weeks now. Yes. I've been fighting with him for weeks. I would take him in Cleveland and watch us win a Super Bowl. They'll be mad. Remember when Kareem Hunt was coming to town and how mad everybody was and outraged everybody was and all the shit talk that pursued? Where are you at? That backfield look damn good, don't it? Yeah, it does. You can't deny that. If we get Deshaun Watson, listen, the skill level between Deshaun Watson and Baker Mayfield is humongous. It's huge. I mean, I had people online yelling at me that we don't need a third running back in the backfield. Are you crazy? You've clearly never seen the man play football. You've never seen it. You're just mad. How come no one wants to keep Sione Takitaki? How come nobody wants to keep Matt? Nobody's vouching for them. Everybody wants them gone and replaced. Come on, Sheldrick Redwine. I see the comments. Y'all don't care about anybody except Baker. You're putting this entire season on Baker? Oh, God, the things I've been reading. But let me be realistic about it. If Deshaun Watson goes anywhere, it's going to be Indianapolis. And I think that would be good for them. You know, that's Frank Reich is a hell of a person to play for. He's a quarterback's best friend holding the clipboard. And that move makes the most sense. But that is not where I want to see him go. But that's probably likely to happen at some point.
Do you see him trading within the division?
Why not?
You think Houston to be that crazy? I'd rather let him sit. Why not? Because I mean, you already had a bad record. You want to get your ass handed to you by the quarterback that you just had that clearly doesn't like your team and your ownership twice a year. You only want it once. If that, you know, if you can avoid it, that'd probably be ideal.
Drew likes trading within his own division.
If you know you're going to win anyway.
Proven.
If you know you're going to win anyway, then what's the problem? Right?
Yeah, we got to push the trade deadline out in the NFL in order for that to happen. Andy, give us a what do you think? I know we got you for a little bit longer. So Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I'm on the same page as Drew in this one. And it truthfully is almost kind of sickening, man. Like, I'm as diehard a Browns fan as there is. They don't make them. I mean, I love the Browns, but it seems to me like there's not everyone, but there is a huge sector of Browns fans that don't just want to see the Browns win the Super Bowl. They want to see the Browns win the Super Bowl with Baker Mayfield. And I just don't get it. I really don't, because literally, if you look side by side at these players, they're just not comparable. Baker Mayfield is solid. Okay. He didn't turn the ball over a ton in the second half of the year. So he's solid, man. But Deshaun Watson is a game changer. You know, they have to adjust defenses to him. They had to design schemes to get Baker Mayfield so that he could see the offense. Then roll him out. You don't have to do that with Deshaun Watson. So I like that. But if I'm being realistic, where I think he's going to end up is with the Jets. I think that they're willing to pay a king's ransom for him, and I think they will. They'll give up 3-4 first-round picks, and I think they're going to get him.
Yeah, it's – I obviously don't want to see him land with the Jets, but if that does happen, it does. I guess it does. He'll probably just go there in his career and die, just like everyone else that goes to the Jets if he's sad. But it is weird to compare the fact that people are comparing him. I think that – you know, they had that game this year and it was really windy. So maybe that's what all the Browns fans are seeing is like, you know, they looked at what he did in that game and they're like, oh, Deshaun Watson's not good. I'm just like, nah, you guys are mistaken. This guy, even with that game, led the league in receiving this year. You can't only be a running back and have 4,900 plus passing yards. That's right. The best fucking running back I've ever seen in my life.
And there was 84.6 mile an hour winds that day, bro. Like, come on, man. What, Baker Mayfield was lighting it up that game? Like, come on. Yeah. What was the score? Like 10-7?
Yeah. Drastically missing on that one. I trade Baker in a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat.
As much as I like him.
You want two first? Bam. Here's two first. And you want Odell? Bam. You want Baker too? Bam.
I would keep Odell if that was possible. That'd be nice. Yeah, me too. Unless you can go out and sign one of those other free agent wide receivers. But Odell, Jarvis.
With Deshaun?
Deshaun. I mean,
with Deshaun Watson. Oh.
Yeah. That would be something explosive. Kai, let's jump to you. Where do you think Deshaun's going to end up landing?
Unfortunately, I think he might actually not get traded at all. I think that Houston ownership is awful. I don't think they know what they're doing too much. I think he might sit out. What sucks, though, is if he does do it like Le'Veon did and ends up like Le'Veon is.
No.
I mean, he might be in a Super Bowl like Le'Veon is today, but – Who knows? I don't see him not playing though. It's like he's too young right now to miss out. I don't know. I think it's all messed up there in Houston. I think they don't trade him. If they were smart, they would. I don't think anybody likes playing there. It's tough, man. But I think he sits out. I just do.
Very possible, which would be a mistake for them because the difference of the situation is trading a running back that has a ton of usage on him. The Steelers, him sitting out for the Steelers, that didn't really make too much of a difference. You know, he ended up going somewhere and being terrible. Deshaun Watson has value. If I'm Houston, I would go trade him. You know how many teams need a quarterback? I mean, absolutely. Go get rid of him. I mean, look at what was just given for Matthew Stafford. I mean, what are teams going to get for Deshaun Watson? Be crazy. So, but yeah, there's obviously trouble out there because, I mean, you have J.J. Watt who has to be released and not trade it because he wants to choose where he wants to go and they're going to honor it. And that's because J.J. Watt's been such a great person as far as even just the community is concerned. So I just don't understand why you don't honor Watson wanting to get traded when you can get some value out of it. Jeff.
A couple things on this conversation. Look, even when we were talking about McMahon wasn't great, but they won a Super Bowl. And I almost put, I think Baker's a little bit better of a pure quarterback than McMahon was, but it's not always about the stats that you put up as far as winning goes. And I think Baker is the man here in Cleveland. I think the team likes him. I think the players like him. This will be the first time going into next year that he's had the same offensive coordinator, same coach. I think that Baker improves. We talked about this a little bit in our group text the other day, but I don't think you move Baker right now as far as Cleveland goes. But I have looked at a little bit of this, and it's not always about money and this and that. But I believe, honestly, that D-Watt would be a fabulous Raider. I believe that him and Gruden have the same ideas. They have a nice young receiving core along with one of the best tight ends in football. And it would make sense for the Texans, like we were talking about. Watt has value. Well, Derek Carr is not a piece of shit. You know what I mean? Derek Carr had a pretty good season. He's not as good as D. Watt, but Houston has some pretty good receivers downfield, and Carr does a pretty good job of getting the ball downfield. So as far as like perfect fit and being in Vegas and being under John Gruden, I think that D-Watt would fit perfectly in Las Vegas.
That's one I hadn't heard yet. That would actually be a pretty interesting fit. I know they like what they have in Henry Ruggs out there and other guy.
Aguilar.
Blank on this. Aguilar. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then of course they have Jacobs at running back. So, you know, that actually does not sound like a, oh yeah. And Waller, that would be a fantastic fit for him. That's one I hadn't heard yet. To me, I mean, the Baker thing is, I don't know how much more value you're going to get out of him. I mean, this legitimately might be the most valuable he'll ever be. Like the way he finished that season was just big. And it's not that I don't think that he's a good fit there and people like him. Obviously everyone likes him, but do you go off of liking somebody or do you go off of wanting to win? I mean, they might be the best fit to win on the other end of this argument. The Cleveland Browns might be in the best position to win that they've been in since before they were Super Bowls.
They won this year.
Yeah. So, I mean, wouldn't you like to add somebody that you know could push you over the top, though? Like, that's the problem. It's like, you know, like him and Odell just don't fit together. So I think that either Baker or Odell has to go. It's probably going to be Odell. But, you know, if I'm looking at it and you have an opportunity and the offer was on the table and Houston liked it and you weren't giving up too much, I mean, I'd go ahead and trade Baker, keep Odell, put Watson in that situation. And I mean, it's not like you're going to miss a beat. You're going to get better. You know, there's just no way that you're not going to get better with that offense. So I doubt that would happen. In all reality, my pick for this, and I don't know if this could happen, and I don't know how much Kyle would like this, but keep both of these major quarterbacks in Dallas. The Cowboys can sign Dak Prescott and trade him to Houston. And then you both got your quarterbacks. You get rid of the unhappy guy and their contracts are going to be pretty damn close to one another. I mean, I think Deshaun Watson was what? Was it like 30, 34, 35, something like that he got paid? So right around what Dak Prescott is going to be looking for. I think it will work out for him. But once again, who knows how it's going to happen. Andy didn't leave the show. There's one more guy I want to throw out there. This is a long shot. This is a super long shot. It's a super rumor.
Oh, okay.
But Aaron Rodgers, if Aaron Rodgers were to get moved for any reason, the most shocking trade that there would be during an offseason and God knows how long, where do you guys think Aaron Rodgers would be a good fit?
All right, where
are
we going?
Drew. Pittsburgh. I think – I know. How – that's puke worthy. But I think Big Ben's time is definitely coming to an end, and they're at a point where – their defense is as good as it's been in the last few years, and they do have offensive weapons, and they do have an offensive line, and they would take like an older on the way out quarterback who could still get the job done and try to figure out the quarterback situation a little bit later. But if Aaron Rodgers ended up in Pittsburgh, I guess I wouldn't be that surprised.
Yeah, that would I don't know what they would have to get rid of. I know Juju is a free agent, and I don't think that they're going to be bringing him back anyway. But, man, if Rodgers went out there and he actually finally got some receivers, go out there and Deontay Johnson and Claypool. And, I mean, Eric Ebron's out there. I mean, that would be nice. Just really hope I don't see it, because if I do, I'm going to – yeah. I don't really like that at all.
Yeah, ruin my keyboard. I would ruin my keyboard. It'd be so gross. So well,
look,
gross.
Even that. I never even thought about that, but I'm. Why not that? If Aaron Rodgers is getting a little bit unhappy in Green Bay and D. Watt is really unhappy in Houston, then why not make that happen? And if Aaron Rodgers was a Texan next year with some of those receivers they have and downfield guys, mm-hmm. I could see that working. And as far as Juju goes, that was my thought about D-Watt going to the Raiders. If they could get D-Watt and Juju, I mean, I don't know how much money and cap and all that kind of stuff, but Juju with D-Watt, Ruggs, Waller, I think they're looking at making a big run. And I know that it hasn't really been thought of, but and for some reason, I just keep thinking about Watt, Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if Juju ends up anywhere, if Rodgers doesn't leave, at least if he doesn't get traded, which is obviously very, very much of a long shot,
go to Green Bay.
End up in Green Bay. Yeah, I think he'll end up in Green Bay. Kai,
I think if he went back home to like California area, San Francisco, maybe that would be fun. Simply for the fact that Stafford would be getting beat by Aaron Rodgers again, and to put in a different division.
Wouldn't that be something?
I could see him going somewhere there. Maybe even Oakland. I mean, San Francisco and Oakland. Well, I guess it's Las Vegas now, but yeah, I could see him maybe going to San Fran, go back home, light it up a couple more years and retire.
Yeah,
I think San Fran's a good fit. Actually,
that'd be pretty interesting. Yeah, really good defense. Their receivers are still very underrated. I mean, Brandon Ayuk is phenomenal. Debo Samuel is phenomenal. The only problem I see with that out there is, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's something in Candlestick, but nobody on that damn team can stay healthy. It's like two games on, 2 days off. So Aaron Rodgers, with his previous track
record, have Kittle.
Kind of fits it. He fits in there pretty well, doesn't he?
Ooh, and Kittle and Aaron Rodgers loves tight ends.
Well, he has loved tight ends.
But that's a solid point, yo. I didn't think about that. That's good. Oh wow.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So let's see. Yeah, let's see. That's some pretty interesting moves here. I like the whole Deshaun Watson out in Oakland or Las Vegas, and I like I like the Aaron Rodgers in San Francisco. Those are two I hadn't heard yet. I like those. That, honestly, that's about it. I don't think anyone, no one, I mean, the third guy on the list is Carson Wentz. Does anybody care where he plays? I don't.
No.
Yeah. Okay. There we go. Carson
Wentz. less than Mitchell Trubisky, and that was no.
But yeah, I mean, that honestly, that's probably about all we have, really. So you know, I'm just gonna run through and get some final thoughts. Remember, we are recording in the past for the future, or the future for the past. We're going back to the future, whatever. It's Super Bowl Sunday. You guys are all going to hear this show on Tuesday. We don't know what's going on yet. So just for shits and giggles, go ahead and give me your last thoughts, and then also give me your pick for the winner of the game today.
Let's see here. Final thoughts. Go Browns, go Cavs, go Indians. I think all of our teams are going to, you know, surprise a lot of people. The Browns already did that, so now it's the Cavs and the Indians' turn. They are not going to lose 100 games, Kai. I don't care what you're talking about over there. And what city is that behind you? It's probably Cleveland, ain't it?
That's Chicago.
Oh, okay.
That's my man.
And Super Bowl pick, yeah, so I better be careful here because it's going to come out after the Super Bowl. So nah, this is a really good way to sound like an asshole. So I'm going to go Kansas City. And let me find my little card here. Let me make sure I didn't switch up. I don't want to switch up nothing. I got KC 32, Tampa Bay 26. So I'm staying consistent to what I said earlier. I think Ronald Jones is gonna have a big game, but for nothing. And Leonard Fournette will probably hurt his hamstring. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I'm putting in my bets as we speak.
Oh man, that's great, Kai.
Happy belated Super Bowl Sunday, I guess. I hope you enjoyed watching the Chiefs beat the Buccaneers 44-38. Hope you're not hungover any longer. And yeah, man, go Knicks. Let's make the playoffs. I need to watch basketball for the first time in 12 years. Be safe, y'all.
Man, it's going to be a very interesting show for either one of us or three of us. Jeff, you're...
Well, look, as far as the Super Bowl goes, said it on our live show, I think the Chiefs win 38-34. So if you're betting, take the Chiefs and the over. I think that they just have too much. You know what I mean? I know Tampa Bay's defense is pretty good, but, man, Pat Mahomes is pretty good too. And as far as all that goes, I would love to see D-Watt in a Bears uniform with Allen Robinson. As we talked about, I like Mitch. I did some play-by-play games for Menner 2 years after he left, and that's all Menner still talked about was Mitch Trubisky. And I hope him the best, but I don't think he's a really good quarterback. I think that
he's top 10, Jeff. Come on. Well, got you on camera and on tape.
That was a sneaky pick. And that was based on his first half performance last year. And he was playing great and he was on pace to break all the records for the Bears. But I think that his future is going to be a 20-year career in the NFL as a backup, but that's neither here nor there. Let's enjoy the Super Bowl, and hopefully Ronald Jones does go off because he's my captain and one of my big monies.
There you go.
Yeah, good luck, guys.
That's the way to be different. If you're playing in GPP, you know, stick Ronald Jones.
You have to.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, if you had Tom Brady wearing white pants going into the stadium, you won your prop bet.
Hey, ooh. those are the pants of a champion.
Champion pants.
Put his champion pants on today.
Let me change my pick.
Tell me white pants Brady.
So I can avoid also sounding like an asshole. I have to make sure I pull up my own picks too. So 34-28 Bucks, Tom Brady MVP. Gonna be a great game. You know, he's gonna go ahead and hoist up 7. Other than that, I'm just gonna end the show by saying happy birthday, Mom.
Happy birthday.
I know you'll be listening to it 2 days after your birthday, but that leads me to go ahead and say this. Happy birthday, Austin. So you better fucking listen to it on your birthday, asshole.
Megatron.
Happy birthday, brother.
All right. Great show, guys. We'll be back next week. Make sure you join us. Check us out on our page, obviously, IU We Talk Sports. You can also find us over on Black Gamut ENT. You can also find some other shows that you'll obviously want to listen to there. Best Damn Podcast, or I can't even speak right. Best Damn Podcast Network there is out there. If you don't believe it, get to believe it. Till next week, fellas.